Hello.
Hello, Christine. How are you? This is Sheldon here.
Hey, how's it going?
I'm doing well. Tell me about yourself. How was your weekend?
It was good. Snowing today, but
So,
it's snowing over there.
yeah, my day's going good. The weekend was fine.
That's
And
good.
was a bit hectic
Do you
given the
guys have snow
situation.
over there, or do you guys have snow over there?
No, not yet. None.
No.
What about you? It's snowing?
Yeah, we're getting a lot of snow today.
That's nice. When it's a good amount of
No.
snow. Oh, it's too much.
It's never nice to have snow.
Depends
Sir?
on the amount, depends on the amount. I like the cold.
Oh yeah.
Unless it's blocking my way. That's a different story.
Yeah. So I read over the script. It's better. Like, it got better when the beginning of it. It repeats itself, though. If you notice, if you read it, it will repeat itself. I think when you go down,
Oh,
what you
looking
said, like in
awesome.
the beginning, it repeats later on. So
Let me
that's.
actually open the last draft as well. Because it's a bit, I talked to the writer as well, even they are so lost, and because it's very difficult to elaborate on the first chapter, given the amount of detail is so low, it's very difficult to make, an elaboration that will extend the chapter. Otherwise, we can reduce the content in chapter section one, chapter one, and we can add a lot more to the rest. Because the rest can be expanded on very easily, but the specific part contains so less information because you don't remember anything before, age of five. It's rather hard to elaborate in that case, but I do understand your perspective. But what exactly are you talking about? I have the draft open in front of me as well, so.
Yeah.
What?
Open.
Yeah.
So as you're reading it, I'm trying to see where it was. But when you were reading it, do you remember what paragraph it was? That was like, that's, yeah, I can't
I think it
remember
was at
now.
the end of chapter one.
The end of chapter one?
Think so. End of chapter one is.
No, it was before this. Like the seventh or eighth page.
The seventh or eighth page.
I think so. I have to read it this season.
Oh, yeah. I can't remember. Do you remember offhand?
I don't remember offhand, but right here, I think.
Sheldon.
Right
No
here,
problem.
yeah.
Take your time.
All right, Sheldon. Yeah, it's this line. It's strange how my parents claimed to love each other, but never bent on making that. And then it goes again. It says the same thing.
Okay, can you please tell me
Above
where
that.
exactly, page or something?
It's page 10
Page 10,
or
that
11 or
and
10. It says 11. Page 11.
page 11, and this is my father, even though which paragraph? We have five paragraphs here.
Okay, it says, it's near the end. It says, it's strange how my parents claim
Claim
to
to love
love
each
each
other.
other. Yes. And then it says, you know, all of those three lines, right? And then it says, again, it's strange how my parents, and it repeats those three lines, those three little paragraphs.
It repeats where?
I know how to read.
What?
He's so rude. No, I'm not. Look, it says here. Look. Okay, I'll read it. It's strange how my parents claimed to love each other, right? But
mm-hmm.
never bent on making a sacrifice, a relationship wanted, perhaps, right? Okay. Then all this resulted in making me a confused and weak person. Okay. Then it says, as for the father, right? Even though he was emotionally and physically abusive, he claimed that he loved my mother, but that love always drained away when he was drunk, which was almost all the time. It's strange how my parents claimed to love each other, but never bent on making sacrifices.
I see.
And then it says the same thing. All the result in making me confused and... Right?
This is,
and then
this
it goes
is different
on,
from right? initial, but yeah, I do understand these two, yeah. I see why you might feel they're similar.
Yeah, he's like, we were reading it over, and then he was like, it repeats itself, and I was like, yeah, I see that.
It does. It kind of does.
It's fun. But we're not going to see it because...
By the way, Christian, I do have a proposal for
mm-hmm.
not perfect at this time. We'll work on chapter one, okay? But rather than, you know, going back to the drawing board and rethinking the chapter, let's move on to its further chapters. Okay.
Yeah.
See
sure.
how the flow develops rather than just staying on the first chapter and, you know, just making
yeah.
it a punching bag.
Yeah. No, that's understandable.
Yeah, otherwise the book won't progress. Anyway, because it's so difficult to write this chapter, even when I taught it myself, I'm not a writer, but even when I taught it myself, it's a difficult write to, you know,
yeah.
like if you have the outline, which I sent to you, I told you originally, we lack information to expand
mm-hmm.
on this because we don't have mm-hmm. an initial information how about, you know, because we can elaborate on your father at this time. There's not a lot to elaborate on. And this in this chapter,
my father
was
like,
yeah.
he was in and out of like life. And like when I was a kid, he,
exactly.
I wasn't allowed to see him at a young age because he sexually abused me. So when my aunt found out, like, she was, like, forbidden my mom to ever let me ever see him again, and I was not allowed to go over to his house anymore.
Yeah, that is exactly my point. Like, we can't elaborate at this time. Let us work on further chapters, okay? And we'll make
yeah,
the adjustments needed, okay?
Yeah.
Perfect. That's good. And one concern, when I was going over your project, this is an important concern that I have. Do you have copyrights to both your books?
Do I have what?
Do you have copyrights for both your books?
What do you mean?
You know, you're writing a book. This is your personal information. However, since it's on a book and you're getting it done, you're going to upload it, do you have copyrights to support that this content is yours?
No. Like, how do you go about to even do that? Like, it's just, I just wrote it.
Yeah, but... Think of it this way. Whenever there's an invention, there's a patent signed for it, right? You get a patent, so you can claim that you're the one who invented it, right?
I guess. I don't know. This is my first time ever writing a
book. Do you know
how
patents work?
Mm-mm.
Basically, in order to receive relative royalties for any book that you're going to write or anything that you do, if you claim that's yours, there's supposed to be a document which is either copyright, so basically a patent, that says that this content is yours. Okay, you have the ownership of it. Now, in order to get that ownership, you have to get through an entire copyright process. Otherwise, anybody can copy your work, and you know, if they get the copyrights on it, they can claim it as their own, which might cause problems for you eventually when you're done with the book.
This does happen.
Yeah, this is something. Because this recently started happening a lot, that's why we are actually emphasizing on people now that you should get copyrights.
But how do you go about doing that? Because when I was talking with Lisa, and I gave her all my information before, she never, ever, ever talked about this at all.
Yeah, that actually recently happened to one of our clients. That's why we actually started emphasizing on this fact. Normally, we don't emphasize because there wasn't really a need, but these days it has kind of become one.
Okay.
Yeah,
so, like, what am I supposed to do?
Actually, I'll get you a meeting set up with one of our department's strategist. They'll guide you through the process, and you know, they'll tell you what to do. I usually deal with
everything to Lisa. Like, and then you're telling me that Lisa didn't give you anything.
No, Lisa did give us a few things, but the problem was that I wanted NotPerfect to be, since you also had problems with what was going on with NotPerfect, I wanted a rather fresh start on the book. So, you know, we could be on the same page, we can work things out in a more proper manner.
Yeah.
And now you see we're slowly working on better drafts, right?
Yeah. I really like the other book. Like, the other book is coming along really nicely. Like, this one is kind of difficult, I understand, but, like, I really do like the other book that we're writing. It's coming along really nicely. This one is coming along. Like, it's not bad or anything. It's slowly coming along. But I really do love the other book that we're writing. It is coming along really nicely.
That is great. However, let my team work on a few more chapters for NotPerfect, and trust me, we'll make sure that you say this for the other book as well.
Yeah.
My team's good, but sometimes they get caught up, you know. There's always a writer's block, and they just trying to get through that. So, when are you free this week? Like,
Any time, like, just whenever you're available, just, like, send me a message, and then I can tell you, like, I should be able to, like, I work from home anyway, so you can just, like, let me know, and then I can just book some time to, like, chat with you.
Perfect. So what do you do?
Well, right now I'm trying to get my life back together again because the doctor situation ruined my career. So I'm working for a call center, and then I'm just going to school.
Oh. So, wait, what are you studying?
Yeah. I'm studying psychology.
That's amazing. And you're writing a self-help book. That's actually productive, given what you're studying.
I really want to work with, to work with people that have, like, different kind of issues. So.
It's more of, from people I know in psychology, they're more like, yeah, once you go through stuff, you actually become, you know, more understanding towards other people's problems.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I do feel that. That's very nice that you're getting your life back together. It's good.
Yeah, well, it's good, but not so good because it sucks to start from the bottom again. Like, when you're in a career for 22 years and you literally have, like, to start at the bottom again, it's not so happy. But
Our experiences teach us
better, right?
Yeah, Chris, trust me, our experiences teach us, the bad ones teach us more than the good. And you're building yourself back up. It's a start, but it's good. Some people don't get a chance to build back up, you know? But you have that.
Yeah, I get it.
Well, so there's that, or decide not to, like, do anything, right? So I choose to keep moving instead of, you know, not moving at all. So.
That's good. That's good. That's a proud moment for you.
Mhm. Well, it's 4 years. I just started, so.
Don't worry too much about it. If you overthink it, you'll blow it up. The more we think about something, the more we're prone to blow it up, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't overthink it. You're doing good.
Good progress.
So,
if you would have asked me this like a couple of months ago, I could have just told you I've been crying.
Wow. So, so you work from home these days. That means you can take a call at any time.
Yeah.
I will talk to the strategists on my end, see which one is more, you know, better for your specific kind of situation, and we'll work through it together, okay?
Kind of, and like, copyright, because I never even realized anything about that.
The thing is, the reason why I'm emphasizing on this, because this, you can even look it up if you want. People sometimes, you know, write entire books, they then upload it without having any copyrights related to it. Anybody can come up, copy, and claim their book as their own because there is no, you know, copyright that has been done on it. So nobody can actually claim it until there's a document stating that, yeah, this belongs to you. This is your property. This is your ownership.
No, but Lisa never ever, she never... Yeah, she always told me that.
I'm surprised she didn't tell you this is something so important.
Yeah, so because when I first started with the book, I told her that this is not the book that I wanted to write.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the one was, but the other one I wanted to write about the doctor situation,
mm-hmm.
And I wanted it to be a fictional book. And it was just, like, literally shot down. Like, nobody wanted to write it. So I was literally, like, forced to, like...
Mm-hmm.
So I gave her all the information. I asked her if everything that I have given her, if it would be confidential, if it would be, like... Okay, she told me that it would, that, like,
all from our end, we're not talking if it's confidential from our end. Any information that you give us will remain confidential. It will not go to anybody else. But the problem is, you're going to get this book published, right?
Yeah.
Copyrights issues happen after publishing. If you don't have publishing, or if you publish the book and there are no copyrights attached, one, it's very difficult to make Amazon agree to it without any copyrights, okay? You can make it happen, but it's difficult. And when it happens, and it's because a few of our clients have faced this, and it becomes a very big problem for us and for them, that they, because royalties, you do understand how royalties work, right?
No, this is, like, literally, I'm so new at this. That's why, like, when I came to you guys, like, I told them, like, I've never wrote a book before in my life. I have no idea. That's why I wanted to go with somebody. And then they said, like, when I talked to Lisa, she's like, oh, don't worry. We do everything for you. Like, you don't have to worry about anything. That's what you're paying for and all of this. And, like...
That
you're
is in terms
person?
Of writing, yeah. That is true. I assume Lisa didn't mention it at that time because what you have is a writing package, right? Now, the writing package includes writing the entire book for you, the formatting, adding your revisions and everything like that. But this isn't recent yet, but still rather recent that we started assigning strategists to, you know, guide our clients on how to better, you know, manage the book, the other things of the book. That is the marketing of the book, the copyrights, the ISBN, protecting your information, and pre-marketing, post-marketing, stuff like that. Okay.
Okay.
Rather than, because being very honest, we're just project managers, okay? We help, you know, collaborate with you and the teams that we have, but we're not experts on, you know, how to get a book from, you know, from scratch and from protecting your information and, you know, helping you market the book properly. We're not experts in that. That's why the company started hiring strategists and assigning them to projects, so you guys can have a better opportunity and also, you know, for the satisfaction. So
okay.
That is why probably Lisa wasn't able to mention it because at that time we weren't actually doing that. We started it this year.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, like, somebody will call me about it, or?
It depends on what you want. Do you want me to introduce you to them, or can the strategist just directly give you a call?
Okay, that's fine. I just, like, I've never, like, I just don't really know what they... Why do you need it?
No.
Like, is it just because somebody could steal your information or something?
Yes, that's exactly why. Think of it this way. When anybody, you know, launches a new invention, they have to, if they have not signed a patent that protects them or, you know, have copyrights for that, you do not have the right to sell that information to anyone because it's free. Before copyrights, any information that is there is free. So let's say you came up with a new invention, you didn't get any copyrights for it, somebody else saw your plans and designed the same thing and claimed copyrights, okay? So you won't be able to say that, oh, this is my invention because somebody else already claimed copyrights before you. Kind of get what that means? You know, going to the teacher before, just seeing somebody else's work, copying it down and running to the teacher like, I did it first.
Okay.
Yeah, it's kind of like that.
All right.
Yeah, and it happens, trust me, it does. It's not fun when it does because legally you can't really do anything. You're just stuck there in limbo.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's why we actually started emphasizing this since it started happening. We didn't know this was a big problem until it started happening.
Right.
So, yeah. I'll talk to the strategist, see when we can arrange a meeting because those guys are pretty caught up and they're assigned to multiple clients. So, let's see. Probably by this week I can get you a call, okay?
Okay.
Be open with them, talk to them about the book if you want, and they'll help you out
so
in any way they can.
So what about all the information that is given to Lisa? Like, is that confidential? Like, nobody can do anything with that?
Yes. Every information that is given is always confidential. It remains within the company. It doesn't go out. You do not have to worry about that. I can assure to you, okay? But the problem is, once the book is published, we can't help you out there. While it's being written by the writers, while any information you're providing to me, any information you provide to Lisa, or any information you will provide to my strategist, they will remain confidential. That I can promise you. The reason why we give a contract when you start, you know, when you purchase our services, is because of that. That all information will remain confidential. Do not worry about that.
Okay, no problem.
Okay.
So that's like when you, like I have a Daniel. He said, like, he'll market it. So, like, mm-hmm. when you put it on, like, different websites, right? Like,
yeah.
Amazon and stuff like that, right? So
yeah.
you have to have that in order to put your stuff on the internet.
Yeah, it's basically a protection mechanism. So other people can't steal your work.
All right.
Yeah. You can look it up if you want. That's on you. Or if you wanted to get information on it, I can just, you know, whenever the starter just calls, you can take as much information from them as you want and take your time with your decisions.
Oh, no problem.
No problem, yeah. Yeah. And let me check something. Your book is to go on Amazon, Kindle, and CreateSpace.
Yeah.
Yeah. You'll also have ebook trailers, which we'll talk about once we're, you know, a good way into writing the books, because they basically
so
will display information.
Done, so I can, after it's done, like I could post it on other websites myself.
Yes, you can just post. Yeah, you can do it by yourself as well. But if you want
okay.
our help, we can help you with that as well.
Yeah, because they
we
know
also
you only
have
post.
Variation of services, but that's a different story, whether you want it or not.
Yeah, because, like, I know, like, there's only, like, so much that you guys post, but, like, I could take my book and post it on other sites as well, right?
Yeah. We started doing social media marketing as well, so, but let's not talk about that right now because your book is still in the writing phase, so think of it
mm-hmm.
that as a future prospect. That's my advice. Okay.
Well, I did pay, like, extra, like, recently with Daniel. And, like, he said, like, he would, like, do marketing for me. So, whatever.
I think you talked about ebook trailer, right?
Yeah. Like,
a video that will go up on YouTube about your book.
Yeah, because he's, like,
yes.
you're a new writer. So we'll try to put you out there so, like, people get to know you and stuff. So he's, like, I would recommend you to do it because you're new to the writing field.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, it helps you get noticed.
So, wait. I didn't even realize this. You already talked to Daniel once, so.
Yeah, and I paid for his service.
So, wait, he is your assigned. I didn't even, come on. Why didn't I know this? I didn't know you had an assigned strategist already.
Oh, he is a strategist, guy?
Yeah, we assigned strategist. Because when... It was a pretty hectic time when Lisa was giving me your information and, you know, with the transition from her
yes.
to me, it was rather hectic.
She was nice. Like, it wasn't that she wasn't.
Yeah, she's an expert. She's an expert on the field, trust me. She is.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's an expert on the field. But, well, we all make mistakes. We're human. What can we do?
Yeah, like, there's nothing bad. I would never say anything bad about her. My experience
yeah.
with her wasn't, like, horrible or anything. It didn't work out, but...
Yeah, that's why I'm here.
Yeah, so I spoke to Daniel.
Mm-hmm.
I paid for his service, whatever he does. So.
Okay. I'll have to talk to him again to give you a call and brief you on the copyrights issue. I'm surprised he didn't either. I'll have to talk to him on that as well.
Yeah.
I don't know what has happened with your project, but I'll get it back in shape. Don't worry about it.
Okay, no problem.
I'm usually tasked for things that don't get done easily, so... I'm here to help. Okay.
No problem.
Perfect. Any other questions that you may have, Chris? I'm here as long as you need me.
No, I'm good. Is
Perfect.
Like, do you need anything from me today? Like, you're just gonna move on, like, with the chapter, though, right?
Yeah. Let's. Some minutes. 2:29. Okay. We can actually talk on chapter 2 as well. So since you are cleared with chapter 1 to an extent, give me information on chapter 2 and we can, you know, I'll guide that to the team. and we'll, you know, move on with the writing. Okay?
Okay.
So you have the outline open?
I have to find it again. I don't know why she didn't invite me. Okay. So chapter 2.
Yes. The struggles of life.
The effect of instability brought us.
So, section 1, the author did not have a stable home. She had to move from one place to another. This will be narrated in the chapter with a tinge of dramatization. Yes. So you moved, if I recall correctly, you moved from your aunt, uncle's, her best friend and place, right?
Yeah. So I lived with everybody, mostly in my family.
So, can you elaborate on your experiences on, like, tell me about each place. How was it?
So I first, when I was 5, like, I lived with my one aunt, my mom's sister, and she had 2 kids. They're lesbians, and so her daughter was older.
Chris, one important thing. I'm going to need names of the people that you're going to mention. Give me names so we can, you know, incorporate that into the book and, you know, we have characters.
So am I allowed to use their real names or am I just, like, names in general? Because, like, wouldn't I have to have their permission?
You don't actually need a person's permission to use their actual name.
Really?
If you're feeling uncomfortable with it, we can change the name, absolutely no problems.
I'll just change it because, like, I don't know, like, if they would be comfortable. So, but I lived with my one aunt. You can name them whatever the hell you want. It doesn't really bother me. So my aunt I lived with for we lived in this. So it's kind of funny because my other aunt lived in the same building as my one aunt. So my brother lived downstairs and I lived upstairs. And my aunt that I lived with was a lesbian, and her lover had a son, and my aunt had a daughter, who was older than me. She was in high school, and, my other, like, her son was in elementary school with me, so I lived with them, and it wasn't bad, but it wasn't really that great either. I was, like, you know, a burden to them, just because, like, you know, they didn't work, they didn't have a job, so they were on assistance. You know, my cousin would drive, like, she would actually take me to school. And living there I was only 5, so it wasn't bad, but, like, it wasn't, like, pleasant. They were addicted to prescription drugs as well. It was a thing in my family. So life with them was, like, my aunt was always high or she was, you know, like, kind of passing out. my cousin was the one that mostly cooked us dinner, and like for my cousin Robbie, and so she would cook us dinner. She would pick me up from school, and then eventually I was, you know, 6 years old walking to school by myself and, you know, getting picked up by, like, nobody. So that was kind of, like, the life living there. I don't really recall, like, ever, like, being able – it was just mostly I would go to school and come home. I didn't really have, like – any friends or anything like that. Like, I didn't have friends. I would just more or less go to school and come home. And it wasn't like it was pleasant or unpleasant. It was just like you
friends
just lived. Yeah, like it wasn't like I was very like nervous and scared when I was a little kid. I was very quiet because my brother was very bad. He was, like, the bad kid. He was always getting into trouble. So, like, he was always, like, but not a lot of people wanted to take him. So I realized that I had to be on my best behavior because if not, I would be, like, passed around to other people. So I kind of was, like, the good kid. So then I moved from her house to my aunt downstairs, and then my brother moved into a foster home, and I lived with my auntie, like I lived with my other aunt, and she had a son and she was married,
mm-hmm.
and I lived with them for a little bit, not very long. I probably really lived with them maybe a year, not even, and then I was moved to my uncle,
mm-hmm.
And he was a biker. My uncle was a biker. He had no kids, and so we were only supposed to stay with him for a little bit. The only time I'd ever see my mom is if she would be picking me up to drop me off at somebody else's house. So my uncle was a biker, though. Like, he used to drive a motorcycle and wear leather gear. And he had all his little
the
biker
whole nine
friends.
Yards.
Yeah, and I was, like, maybe, like, 7 or 8 or something. So it was kind of weird because I had, like, you know, I never really knew what bikers were at that age. I didn't know it. I just, you know, saw all the motorcycles and stuff like that. So my mom, we stayed with him. We weren't going to live there, but we stayed, like, for a week. And, like, all of a sudden, one day, my mom literally just never came home. And then he was like, I guess you're here with me. So
wow.
He never had any kids. And it was very awkward for him because he never, like, he didn't know how to take care of me because he never had kids before. So it was different for him. Like, sometimes we had a lot of takeout food because he wasn't big on cooking. And we went to a lot of restaurants and hung out with a bunch of bikers. So that was kind of different.
You had a fun, cool experience.
Yeah. He was really sweet. He was really good to me. Like, I couldn't say he wasn't good to me because he was. But then not even, like 5 or 6 months later, my mom came to visit, and then I got up. She packed my stuff, and then I moved away, and we didn't even say goodbye to him. So it was, like, a sad moment in my life because, like, I didn't even get to say goodbye to him. And it actually broke his heart because I lived with him for so long. He adjusted his life to take care of me, and then my mom took me away from him. So he was actually very sad.
Did you get a chance to meet him again?
Not till, like, years down, like, down the lane. Well, it's probably, like, 12 when I saw him again. Yeah. So.
Oh. So what
Yeah.
you were like 7 or 8 when you started living with them?
Yeah. I was about like 7 or 8.
Let's see. So wait, you live with your first aunt for a year?
At 5. Yeah, probably like maybe a year. Yeah, I think a year kind of, and then I moved downstairs, and then I moved from there. I moved with my uncle, and then I moved from there to my other uncle's, and then I lived with his family, and then I moved in with my aunt when I was about 11, and I stayed
with
her.
Which aunt
are we
talking, downstairs, upstairs? Or another one?
Oh, not my mom. My mom's best friend. Sorry, she's not my aunt. She's my mom's best friend. So
okay.
I lived with her the longest.
Perfect.
Yeah.
So, oh, wait. First, we have to talk about uncle number 2.
Yeah. So my uncle number 2 had 4 kids. So like 2 of them weren't his, and then 2 of them were. So like 2 girls and 2 boys.
Mm-hmm.
And his wife was a real bitch. She was terrible. That lady, I hated eating Fruit Loops, and I tell you, she made me eat Fruit Loops every single day, and she would like throw them back in the fridge if I didn't eat them. So every day I was like, I hate cereal. I don't eat cereal, right? And she would literally wake up in the morning and feed me cereal, Fruit Loops. I fucking hated cereal and Fruit Loops. But she made me eat them every single day, and she would throw them back in the fridge, and she would take them out the next day, the soggy cereal, and she would force me to eat that. I hated her. She, like, never, like, I was just like, are you kidding me? And I used to love to eat peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, and, like, she forbid me to eat peanut butter and jelly sandwiches for school, so I refused to take any lunches, so she wouldn't make me any lunch anymore because I wouldn't eat her, like, meat sandwiches or tuna or whatever she was going to make me. So I just was, like, sell, literally, not even sell, but I would, like, literally negotiate my lunch with people in the school yard. Because my aunt was such a bitch.
You know, well, at least that helped you, you know, run a business. You started at a young age.
It was terrible. But she was very mean, like very, very mean. My uncle was super nice. Like, he was, like, always the nicest. But she was just so mean. Her daughter, we got along some days, but not always. She was older than me, but she liked to boss me around. And literally, I don't remember, like, doing anything, like, I ever wanted to do because they were just very, like, I wasn't really allowed to do too much with them. So sometimes, like, I wasn't allowed to go to places that they were going to. I'd have to, like, they would find me a babysitter. So, like, if they were going out for, like, dinner or if they were going somewhere, like, they would find me a babysitter to, like, stay with me, and I would never be able to go out to outings with them. I remember that. And it was just, like, not, like, it wasn't a very happy time in my life to live with them. I just remember I just really hated living there.
Yeah, because, well, when you have a shitty person, you know, trying to feed you cereal, it's not that fun.
Oh, I hated cereal. Like, it could have been the worst thing ever. Even to this day, I don't really eat cereal very often.
What about your kids?
No. Actually, Erica and Austin don't really like cereal either. Not really. They have, like, one cereal that we all, like, will eat, and it's, like, Honey Shreddies. But most of the time, they'd rather eat eggs or toast or something like that. But.
And you would rather eat PB&J.
Yeah, I loved peanut butter and jelly sandwiches when I was a kid. Absolutely loved that stuff. And she forbid me to eat them at her house. I was never allowed to make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
that doesn't make sense.
Yeah, she forbid me to eat it. And I used to have, like, this, I don't know why, I had this really nice sweater that I used to love, and, like, she threw it in the garbage because she was like, you wear it too much, so she actually threw it away. I don't even know why I really liked it, but it was funny. So, yeah, that was kind of, like, the funny moments of living with them. But, like, they just weren't, she was just so mean. That lady was just so mean. She was always nitpicking at every little thing that I did. I was just, like, I was, like, living on eggshells living in that house. It was terrible.
That sucks.
And her one son was a pervert. So that was, like, that was not a very good experience living at her house at all. So he was, like, a teenager, and he was just, like, a pervert kid. Eventually, he moved out, but, yeah.
Ugh. That does not sound fun.
No, I hated living there. So then from there, I moved in with my mom's best friend, and I lived with her until I was 13.
So, like, for 5 years.
Mm-hmm. And the only reason why I had to leave her was because she married a man from, well, she was going to marry a guy from New Brunswick, and her and her kids were going to move out to New Brunswick, and my mom decided that would be too far, so it wouldn't be so convenient for her to come and pick me up whenever she wanted to see me or come by whenever she wanted to see me. And so she decided that she would take me back, and then my mom's best friend said that, like, you have to clean up your act because I'm not giving you back Chris until you clean up your act, right? So then my mom started, like, going to, like, rehab or whatever to clean herself up. And then I went back to living with her when I was 13.
I see. So, wait. How much of your, you know, span do you want to be in Chapter 2, the struggle of life from, you know, from family to family? Let's start chapter. We can talk about your life.
You can kind of just, like, say an overview of, like, how, like, I was moved from, you know, family to family, and, like, how it was, like, a burden. Like, I was a burden to each of them in different ways. Like, even my uncle, like, even though, like, he, like, tried to take care of me, it was a burden to him, right? Because, like, he had to learn how to take care of a kid, right? Even though he did it in the most polite way, it was still, like, awkward for him to, like, learn how to take care of me because he never had any kids. And then my, like, you know, each of them had their own burdens because a lot of them, you know, I was an extra kid, right?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, so, you know, can kind of make it brief. And then my aunt, my mom's friend that I lived with, that was, like, the best time of my whole entire life. She was loving and super supportive, and she, like, even though she moved away to New Brunswick, like, she was always making sure that I was okay. I had her number. I called her all the time. Like, she was my mom. Like, she was the person who literally, like, taught me a lot in life. She was, like, the greatest person I could have ever had in my life. We were very close. Leaving her was devastating. Like, I was absolutely devastated when I left her house. I did not want to go back to my mom, but she had to give me back because I was her child and my mom wanted me back, right? So, so when I moved in at the age of 13, that's when I met my family doctor. And then how I had a relationship with him, but I don't really want to talk about him.
Let's talk about that. But, that's chapter 3, by the way.
And then my mom was, okay, so living back with my mom was a nightmare. My mom was very abusive. So even though, like, I moved back with her, she would get into fights with me, and then she would throw me out on the street. So I was 13 years old, and there would be times where I'd be homeless, and I would have to go and sleep at my friend's house. And then when my mom would not be mad at me anymore, she would tell me to come home. And then, you know, she was violent.
I can tell.
And there was, like, I lived on eggshells with her because one moment I was, like one moment she'd be okay, but then the next moment she wouldn't be okay, and then she would tell me to get out or not come back. She would call me names. It was a very chaotic, like, time in my life because I never knew, like, where I was going to live. Because I lived with such a crazy lady, that my, like, I had a friend at school who, like, learned about the situation, and then she was like, it's okay, Chris, whenever your mom throws you out, you can come and stay with, like, you know, at my house. So it was lucky I had good friends. So I lived like that until I was 15, and then I finally moved out on my own.
That's nice. At least you had a good friend.
So it was kind of funny because I was 15, I lived on my own, but no friends were allowed to come to my house because they thought that I would be out all night, like, hanging out, partying and drinking and doing bad things. So when parents knew that I lived on my own, like, they definitely were not allowed to come to my house.
Yeah. it isn't really the parents' fault, you know, in that case.
No, I totally understand.
Yeah.
But I did have, like, some good friends, and their parents were like, yeah, it's okay, Chris, you can come and stay here, but, like, you know, Melissa's not coming over to your house, right? So, yeah.
And then, it's not really, you know, that kind of thing that parents would, you know, mind them being at your place, but just two kids in one house, nobody to look after them.
Yeah. But yeah. It was funny because I was always scared of the dark. Like, I literally would be home at sunset.
Wow.
So I would be afraid to go out late at night. So I literally would always make sure I was in around 7 o'clock, and I would never go out. It was so funny because people would be like, you don't know kids. Kids don't go out after, like, when it's dark. So it was just so funny that I was like that. So.
But to everybody else, Chris, you know, party monster.
Yeah, a lot of people thought I was.
I can understand that. I can see that happening.
Yeah.
Okay, so I think that's good enough for chapter 1, section 1. Section 2, evolve from hate and negativity.
Like, just, like, from everyone in my life, or, like, peers, or?
I think you have it in front of you, right? How a person can evolve to become a better person, learning from others' mistakes. How unstable home and childhood elicited a strong sense of resolution in the author to make a stable home for her and her children, how she achieved it, and how others can do the same.
So as I was growing up, I had a very big ambition of school. Like, I was, like, always, like, I always knew that, like, educating myself, I could do better. Like, I'd get out of certain situations if I, like, concentrated on school and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, I had my kids early, but it was a blessing because it made me like more focused on like being like a better mom and wanting, you know, the best for my kids, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But people didn't understand, like, when I was in high school, or like I didn't have like the same, I didn't have anybody telling me what to do. So like never did I ever have anybody except for my mom's best friend ever telling me what to do. Like everybody kind of just, like, I just knew that I had to go to bed at a certain time. Nobody ever told me to go to bed. I just was like, okay, I just got to go to bed at this time. Until I lived with my, like, my mom's best friend, and she was like, Chris, you have to go to bed at this time. Like, she was, like, the only person that set rules and boundaries. Other than that, like, I didn't have any, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So... Mm-hmm. So, like, I kind of, like, had to learn everything on my own.
Well, that is tough. But it did, you know, bring out a strong sense of responsibility in you.
Oh, yeah. I don't know, I've always been different because, like, I've always been different because I've had a different lifestyle than most people, right?
Yes.
So.
Most of your initial life taught you what not to do.
Yeah, pretty much. I've learned, like, from my family what not to do. So,
wow.
And, like, I've had, like, even, like, my family comes... Like, we've had, like, a lot of crazy stuff happen. Like,
mm-hmm.
my cousin, she's younger than me, but she was always in and out of jail and stuff like that. So, like, the one time she came over to my house, and her boy, like, she invited this guy over. I lived on my own. And then the police came to my house not even, like, 10 minutes later, and this guy was, like, putting money in my sofa, and, like, he had, like, obviously drugs on him. So the police came and was, like, searching, like, them. And my cousin had, like, 6 outfits on of my clothes that she was stealing from me.
Wow.
And, yeah, like, that's how chaotic and crazy, like, my life has been. So my cousin came to visit me. She's robbing me. And the only way I find out that she's robbing me is because the police come to my house, search her, and she has, like, 6 pairs of pants on of mine, 3 pairs of shirts underneath hers, and, like, yeah, it was just very awkward and, like, yeah. It's kind of, like, little things that, like, have happened, and then to find out, like, she stole your wallet at the same time and your ID, and then the police are, like, banging down your door, and you have, like, cash and drugs in your couch, and that was just, like, a lovely visit of one of your relatives coming to hang with you for a couple of hours.
Wow. I would say you have a really interesting family.
Yeah.
Netflix can make a series on you.
Believe me, when I first met, like, Mike, who you were talking to, I told him I don't talk to my family, and then he was like, why? And then one day he was like, oh, come on, Chris, they can't be that bad. And I said, okay. So my brother actually called me after 5 years, and his son had some kids. So we decided to go to a christening. We were only there for an hour, and, like, all hell broke loose. And he was, like, gone to the car, and he's like, what the fuck just happened? And I was like, I told you my family's crazy. And he's like, you are fucking kidding. He's like, most people are psychopaths.
Wow.
And he's like, are you crazy? I can't believe you were raised by those jungle people. Dude, Mike,
wow.
I can tell you.
Ha ha ha. What's he saying?
He said, never in a million years have I ever pictured anybody's family doing the things that your family has done. Like, he's just like, he's Italian, so he's like family, very family oriented. Mm-hmm. And when I met him, I haven't talked to my family in 10 years. And he's like, oh, you know, people change, Chris, and stuff. And I was like, you really want to meet them? And he was like, yeah. So I was like, I'm telling you, they're crazy, like beyond crazy. And he's like, I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt. So 5 years, we lost $5,000. We inherited a kid. And we also, what else did my family do? They robbed us.
Why do they always rob you? What is with them robbing you?
You don't understand. They want the easy way out. Like, I can tell you, like, my cousin, she hustled. Okay, somebody told her of a deal that she could go to Trinidad. All she had to do was carry these passports with her. And I was like, don't do it. Like, what's wrong with you? So she was going to make $10,000. I was like, all you have to do is go to work, and, like, you can make the money, right?
Mm-hmm.
So she was just going to go to work, and instead she decided to take these passports over. Somebody put something in her suitcase to bring cocaine over. So anyway, she went to jail for over 6 years. She has 8 kids, like 7 kids she has, and she was in jail for over like 6 years in Trinidad because she was a stupid moron. And who paid for her lawyer? I did. Luckily, our money is worth more out in Trinidad. So I paid for her lawyer. I bailed her out of jail. Like, do you understand? My family is,
yep.
That's their mindset. Their mindset is about making money. They don't believe in working, making a paycheck. They believe in selling drugs because they think
in
that
magic.
That kind of lifestyle.
Yeah.
They
believe in
so
magic.
Yeah, like, that's just their lifestyle. If you tell them about, like, a hustle or something and that you're going to be able to make, like, $5,000 or something, it's petty cash. Like, if you just work, you can make that money, right?
Yeah.
But they don't think of it like that. They think of it like a side hustle, you know what I mean? They're always, like, hustling. That's their lifestyle. It's like a hustle. I can tell you lots of things, believe me. You'll be like, holy smokes, man, this is like a funny show. It's for real. People live like this.
You can become a director.
The only time that people call me in my family, look me up and find me is to bail them out of jail. They need money. Or actually they're losing their kids and they want me to collect them for them so that they can go to jail and then come out. And I'm like, no, I'm not doing this anymore.
Good. You can't be a scapegoat all your life, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
So, one important thing, though. What was your first reaction?
When they call me?
No, when he met them.
Oh, Mike? He was like literally, he got in the car and he was like, what the fuck? He's like, those people are fucking crazy. And I was like, do you want to go to another family reunion? He's like, hell no.
Mike had his moment of I stand corrected.
Yeah, he's just like, these people are nuts. Yeah. He met my mom. He only met her once. That was
I think one time was enough.
Yeah, he's just like...
That's enough to support a lifetime.
Yeah, she's very mean. She's a very mean woman. It's sad.
Well, Chris, this has been a good talk. I would love to continue, but, well.
You have to go to work, I know.
Yeah. But this is fun.
So, I don't know. If you want me to, like, write out some stuff for you and then maybe, like, come to you. You want me to write some stuff?
Personally, if I think what you can write would be things for chapter 2, would be better if you can write them down. There's good enough information for, like, chapter 2, section 2. Not section 1. I have enough information for section 1. I don't have enough for section 2. It's better if you write it down and, you know, give me a small draft or something like that so we can work on it. But I'll get the team working on section 1 because you gave us enough to make an entire draft just for section 1. Okay?
Okay.
Perfect, perfect. And what about chapter 2? Oh, sorry, not chapter 2, but the other book, Better Me in 30 Days. I guess that's coming along fine, so I don't really feel like you have revisions for it.
Is there more, like, with that one yet, or not yet?
Well, we are working, let me actually see when you are set for that. Hopefully, probably Thursday. Thursday or Friday, I should be able to drop you one draft for a Better Me in 30 Days, okay?
Okay.
Perfect. Anything else?
No.
Perfect. Well, Chris, I guess I'll give you a call when I drop you the Better Me in 30 Days draft, okay?
Okay.
Perfect. Oh, have a good day. And take care of yourself.
No problem. Thank you.
Okay.
Just let me know about that copy thing.
Yeah. Don't worry about it. You'll get a call. You'll get a call this week, okay?
Okay, no problem.
Perfect. Have a good day.
You too. Bye.
Bye.